Okay, buddy. Nice and simple this time.
In a world of Veltema fungicide, 5 feet reigns supreme.
Hey, remember? Less dramatic?
5 feet.
Just 5 feet.
5 feet.
Nope.
60 inches.
Look, man, just say Veltema fungicide lets you treat corn as early as 5 feet.
Nice. Veltema fungicide from BASF. Coming sooner to a field near you.
Always read and follow label directions.
Are you on the hunt for some amazing, ethically sourced, and sustainable body care products to help you calm the F down? Rebels and Rouge is an online store that provides quality bath products to help you stay on your self-care routine. Whether you want to slay the day away or just sit alone and take in the calm, Rebels and Rouge have what you need. Check out their Instagram, at Rebels and Rouge Co., or visit their site, rebelsandrouge.com, to see all the goodies they have to offer. Links are in the description box below, so definitely give them a look.
The Oracle Network.
Due to the mature content of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Thanks for tuning back into the Depth of Darkness, the podcast that dives deep into all things dark and wrong in this world. We're your host, as always, I'm Mandy.
And I'm retired Major Hugh Jass, coming at ya in your face.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Welcome back, everyone. So today we'll be diving all kinds of deep into some mythological creatures.
You bud.
And thinking about how I said that, it kind of sounds a little pervy.
Yeah.
But that's not what we mean. That's not what we mean. Or do we? But we're actually going to go back to our dark mythology segment because we've actually had a lot of feedback saying that you guys love it. So we're bringing it. We're bringing it in nice and hard because we know you like it. So we listen to you guys. We listen to your feedback. Yeah. We're going in deep. So you all know I love mythology. Yeah. I'm obsessed with the creatures of lore. And, you know, it was just a matter of time before we brought back the dark mythology. So, here you go. But this time, we'll be discussing nymphs, naiads, and sprites. And if you're not quite sure what those are, then buckle up, because we're diving in deep.
Yeah.
And off we go.
We're going in where nobody goes, so to speak.
Down the dark tunnel of goodness.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times. One. The chocolate highway or Hershey highway. Yeah. I don't know how many times I'm going to say going in deep. Let's see how many can you count, everybody? Let's see how many times I'll say it. So, to start off, I'll be referencing Wikipedia throughout this episode because, you know, yeah, I like Wikipedia, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
We all know this. It's a well-known fact. We like Wikipedia. Alrighty. So, I'm going to start off with nymphs, and no, we're not referring to nymphomaniacs. So, you can put
the
those
tarts of
sexual
the fairy
fantasies.
World.
Yeah, you can put those little sexual fantasies aside, right? But according to Wikipedia, the mythological creature known as a nymph, this is what Wikipedia says. In ancient Greek folklore, it's a minor female nature deity. Different from Greek goddesses, nymphs are generally regarded as personifications of nature. They're typically tied to a specific place or landform and are usually depicted as beautiful maidens. Oh, that sounds glorious.
Beautiful.
I can hear the whimsical call of them right now.
Yeah, that's what it was.
They were not necessarily immortal, but lived much longer than humans before they died. So right off the bat there, everybody, the word nymph and nymphomaniac at least have something in common. You know, being female. Generally, women are the nymphos, right? Nymphomaniacs?
That's what they say.
Generally speaking. Giggity. But...
yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. But carrying on before I get too excited. Nymphs are often divided into various broad subgroups, such as the Malai. I don't know if I pronounced that right. They're the ash tree nymphs. Not ash tree.
Specific ash tree. Ash tree.
Yeah. The Naiads, which are freshwater nymphs. The Nereids. Nereids? Nerds.
Nereids, I believe it is.
The sea nymphs. And the Orids, the mountain nymphs. So there's all kinds of nymphs for your... landscaping.
Got nymphs coming out of your ass. What?
nymphs coming out of every orifice. Yeah. All over the place.
All over.
They're good. They're all
They're little tarts. They're everywhere.
I don't know why tarts made me giggle so
Even
much.
There. What?
Yeah.
No, those are brownies. Sorry, I forgot.
I love brownies. They're delicious.
Yeah, tasty.
Going back to that. Okay. Nymphs are often featured in classic works of art, literature, mythology, and fiction. Since the medieval times, nymphs have been sometimes popularly associated or even confused with fairies, which I love fairies too. So, yeah. I mean, going off of all that description that Wikipedia so gracefully graced us with, you can definitely see how they can become confused with fairies, how they're very similar in their features, according to mythology. They are similar in their appearance, where they dwell. So it's not surprising, basically is what I'm getting at. But before I dove into the history behind nymphs, I even sometimes would get them confused myself. So before I actually looked into this, I really couldn't tell you the difference. I thought they were all just fae. I thought they were all fairies.
Right.
So, yeah, I couldn't tell the difference. But when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, you can tell there's differences. So, just like with us humans, there's differences. But now that we covered the basis of nymphs, let's move on over to their Aquarian kin, the Naiads. Take it away, Hugh.
Thank you, Betty. In Greek mythology, the Naiads... By the way, this is Wikipedia once again. That folks.
Yes.
That folks.
As always.
Yeah. .org.
Yeah.
In Greek mythology, the Naiads, Greek Naioeshowek, are a type of female spirit or nymph presiding over fountains, wells, springs, streams, brooks, and other bodies of fresh water. Ooh. They are distinct from river gods who embodied rivers, and the very ancient spirits that inhabited the still waters of marshes, ponds, lagoon lakes, such as pre-Mycenaean Lerna in the Argolis, whatever that means. Naiads were associated with freshwater, as the Oceanids were with freshwater and the Nereids. I would assume that's wrong, that the Oceanids were with salt water, I'm guessing. And the Nereids, specifically with the Mediterranean. But because the ancient Greeks thought of the world's waters as all one system, which percolated in from the sea in deep cavernous spaces within the earth, there was some overlap. Arethusa.
Yeah, like percolated.
Yeah.
Percolated.
Yeah, that's a little. Yeah.
Arethusa.
The nymph of a spring could make her way through subterranean flows from the Peloponnesus to surface on the island of Sicily. See, that gets rather specific there.
Yeah.
Etymology. The Greek word is naiak. Naias, pronounced naias. Plural, naiosarek, naiagades. It derives from naiin, to flow, or nama, running water. Naiad has several English pronunciations. Nereid, 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 Naiad. Naiads were often the object of archaic local cults, worshipped as essential to humans. Boys and girls at coming-of-age ceremonies dedicated their childless locks to the local naiad of the spring. In places like Lerna, their water's ritual cleansings were accredited with magical medical properties. Animals were ritually drowned there. Oh, that sounds like a good time. Oracles might be situated by ancient springs. Naiads could be dangerous. Hylas of the Argo's crew was lost when he was taken by Naiads, fascinated by his beauty. The Naiads were also known to exhibit jealous tendencies. Theocritus' story of Naiad jealousy was that of a shepherd, Daphnis, who was the lover of Nomia or Echinus. Daphnis had on several occasions been unfaithful to Nomia, and as revenge she permanently blinded him. The nymph Salmasis raped Hermaphroditus and fused with him when he tried to escape. I'm guessing that's where the extra part came into play. The water nymph associated with particular springs was known all through Europe in places with no direct connection to Greece, surviving in the Celtic wells of northwest Europe that have been rededicated to saints, and in the medieval Melusine, or Melusine, or something like that. Walter Burkert points out, when the Iliad, Zeus calls into assembly on Mount Olympus, it is not only the well-known Olympians who come along, but also the nymphs and all the rivers. Okeonis alone remains at his station. Greek hearers recognize this impossibility as the poet's hyperbole, which proclaimed the universal power of Zeus over the ancient natural world. The worship of these deities, Burkert confirms, is limited only by the fact that they are inseparably identified with a specific locality. Robert Graves offered a socio-political reading of the common myth type in which a mythic king is credited with marrying a naiad and founding a city. It was this newly arrived Hellenist justifying their appearance. The loves and rapes of Zeus, according to Graves' readings, record the supplanting of ancient local cults by Olympian ones. So in the backstory of the myth, Aristaeus Hypsius, a king of the Lapiths, married Chilonabaloth, a naiad who bore him Cyrene. I'm just making it up as I go. Hurt. Yeah. Aristaeus had more than ordinary mortal experience with the naiads. When his bees died in Thessaly, he went to consult them. His aunt Arethusa invited him below the water surface, where he was washed with water from a perpetual spring and given advice. That seems like a lot of nothing.
That was a lot of words, and I kind
of... Well, there's a lot of names listed here that I would not dare go through. There's like several different uses of vowels and consonants I'm not used to. That's for sure. That's right. You don't want to go through that.
That was exquisite.
Yeah, that was what we call Wikipedia.org, folks. Always on the ball.
Informative, so to speak, with their Greek linguistics.
Yeah. Love they know them. They're naiads.
Yeah, I'm good with them naiads.
The naiads?
Them some good naiads. Yeah. I mean naiads.
Them some all tasty right. naiads.
Them's good. Alrighty, so now we know a bit more about the nymphs and naiads. So lastly...
More than we'd ever wanted to know.
Yeah, your brains probably are just engorged with too much information right now. Yeah. That's okay. That's all right. So now we're going to be covering the supernatural entities, also often confused with fairies as well, and they're referred to as the sprites. Mm. Now I'm kind of in the mood for a sprite.
Yeah, I'm getting thirsty.
Some sprites and brownies. You can't go wrong with that.
Mm. Yeah.
So good. But these mythical... Blah, blah, blah. What? I'm having some tongue twisters here. These mythological creatures really know how to get my cravings going, you know? But yeah, thirst-quenching sprites and delicious special brownies, you know? You know what I'm saying?
You got good it.
Times. Good times. But in all seriousness, the sprite we'll be talking about is far from the soda, and I know we all love it, we do, but just calm down. It's not the soda. As I'm sure you already know. But in European mythology, sprites are supernatural entities that are often depicted as fairy-like creatures or as an ethereal entity. The word sprite is derived from the Latin spiritus, or spirit, meaning spirit. Yes.
You bet.
From the French esprit, I'm assuming. Variations on the term include spricht, S-P-R-I-G-E-H-T. Sprites, I'm assuming it's pronounced the same way. And the
same
Celtic spriggan. The term is used with regard to elves and fairies in European folklore, and in modern English, it's rarely used in reference to spirits. It's essentially a spirit, everybody. It's a spiritual entity. But they usually don't use that term anymore. It's not commonly used. I did want to mention, though, that even though their description is pretty different than that of the nymphs and the naiads, a sprite is still a spiritual being that many consider to fall under that fae umbrella name. So kind of like what Wikipedia was mentioning. Although they may differ to a certain degree, it doesn't take much to see that the fundamental characteristics of nymphs, naiads, and sprites are common.
The tarts, nads, and spricks.
Tarts.
Hey, man, check that shit out over there. There's some tarts and nads.
I need to calm down. I don't know why tarts.
Those brownies or sprites? I guess they're brownies.
Oh, gosh. It's just going to be like a whole episode of me giggling. And,
yeah,
and,
it's...
You know, the party of my life. Over butchering these names.
Yeah. But, they have no idea how butchered they are, by the way.
No idea. But
no idea.
Yeah, they're related to both land and water. Because, you know, I haven't mentioned it, but along with the sprites, there's also water sprites. So just like there's water naiads.
Yeah, water naiads. Those are like special things that people hang on to when they're, you know, unable to float on their own.
Oh my God. They float on their own. That's spectacular.
Check out my nads. I can grab onto these things and float all damn day.
Giant buoys.
What? Yeah.
I got my own, what are those things called? Inflatable air tube, or I can't think of what they're called.
Water wings.
The things that float. I got my own buoys, basically.
You got your wings and your nads. And your tarts and your brownies.
Delicious.
Yeah.
But they all... Going back to what the similarities are, they all have common features. So the way they appear in mythology, their locations, you know, there's a lot of common ground there. But they all also have magical otherworldly aura to them, and it's super cool. So it's my little two cents in there. But now that we've dived all kinds... Did I finish already? Oh, I did.
I think you are.
So that's basically it. I know in a nutshell, and minus all my giggling, that's all we have for the nymphs, nads, and sprigs.
You're getting off easy this time, folks.
Yeah, you don't want to hear us just, hey, it's shortly after St. Patrick's Day, right? I may have had just a few before
people need to recover.
Mike. Yeah. Oh, I'm Irish, everybody. Lay off me. But now that we've dived all kinds of deep into the nymphs, nads, and sprits,
so to speak,
let's dive extra deep into those closing statements. Whee! If you love our podcast and want to show your support, then please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever else you can leave reviews. This helps our show get noticed more easily and helps other listeners find our show. By leaving a 5-star review, you'll also get one of our awesome Depth of Darkness stickers when you send a screenshot of the review. And who doesn't like stickers? And free things! I know right. I do. So go ahead, leave us a review. There's other platforms besides Apple iTunes where you can leave the review. I think Podchaser is one of them. There's a few others. But Apple iTunes is the main go-to. So you don't even need an iPhone or, you know, an Apple product to do it. You just need a computer. You download it, leave us a review, and then you can delete it. You can delete it off your computer if you want. Just leave us that review.
Yeah.
Shit with some dark love.
Yeah, just come back, make up a new profile, and leave us another review.
Do it. You'll get all kinds of goodies from DOD. Huge ass is serving it up.
You bet.
All over. But to top that
face.
Off. Oh, I love it. But to top that off, if you really love some huge ass all up in your face, like to the extreme, and want to shower us with even more dark love, and you'll be getting showered back with a lot more love too. A lot more dark love. Just you hold on.
So to speak.
Then, I mean, definitely consider joining us on our Patreon and becoming a member of our Dark Abyss. You'll not only get additional content each week, but you'll also get a ton of other incentives that are exclusive to our patrons only. know, extra content, freebies. As the tiers go up, you get more and more goodies. So it's definitely worth checking it out. Links down below. And the best part, it starts off at just $1 a month. So you're sure to get a full, your filling of huge ass, yeah. If you know
you're
what I'm
sure
saying.
Sure to get your fill.
Huge ass is going to fill it up. And, yeah. You know, it's affordable, and it's going to a good cause. So definitely check it out if you're interested, and we'd appreciate the support. So thank you to everybody who listens, but, you know, definitely check it out. You know, means a lot to us. And that's all for this week's episode, folks. Thanks again for tuning in to the Depth of Darkness. And until next time, bye.
Bye.
Been thinking about McDonald's all day. Can't get it off my mind. I can already taste it. Ooh, got my mind on my mouth and my mouth ready for some Mickey D's deal.
There's a deal for every moment at McDonald's.
Right now, get two of your favorites for just $3.50. Mix and match a classic McChicken, a hot and spicy McChicken, or a juicy McDouble. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Been thinking about McDonald's all day. Can't get it off my mind. I can already taste it. Ooh, got my mind on my mouth and my mouth ready for some Mickey D's deal.
There's a deal for every moment at McDonald's.
Right now, get two of your favorites for just $3.50. Mix and match a classic McChicken, a hot and spicy McChicken, or a juicy McDouble. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Single item at regular price.